middle age.
I am. 30-something. Is it?
Oh, yeah.
30-something, you bastard.
Did you hear that?
Good to see you, Mr.
I was listening to Drake all the way home. God's play.
Well, how you doing?
Cool. Made it 8.
But they fixed it.
Good. How about yourself?
Excellent penmanship.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. It's cool.
Is coming back.
Oh. It was coming back?
Pastor Joyce. She gave her invitation last night.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us at this regular meeting of the Madera City Council and a special meeting of the successor agency to the former Madera Redevelopment Agency. If I can have roll call, please.
Mayor Andrew J. Madelon.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Jose Rodriguez.
Here.
Councilmember Cecilia K. Foley Gallegos.
Here.
Councilmember William Oliver.
Here.
Councilmember Derek O. Robinson Sr.
Present.
Councilmember Charles F. Rigby.
Here.
Councilmember Donald E. Hawley.
Present.
Thank you very much, Claudia. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will join me in welcoming Pastor Joyce Lane from Glory of Zion Ministries to lead us in the invocation.
Good evening. Lord, we thank you for the coming together of your people for the purpose of doing business for the city. Thank you. Of Madera. The challenges that you put before us, the mandates that you put upon us, we recognize that we cannot do this within our own strength, nor can we do it alone. We need one another. Most of all, we need you, moving and directing, giving us insight, wisdom. And you promised in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Lord, you made a promise to us that you would send a comforter, a teacher. But you also gave us instructions. You gave instructions to your disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That lets us know, God, that we need you for everything that we do, life as we encounter it. And the people accepted that in the days of old. We've read and became aware of the upper room prayer meeting, said, then they returned to Jerusalem. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Lord, we ask in Holy Spirit that you teach us how to come together as a people, that we might learn to have one voice, one purpose, one goal, that we please you and be a benefit for the people that you have entrusted to us. We're told that whenever the early church leaders gathered in Jerusalem, it was said that they were in unity and harmony with each other and with God. We're asking, oh God, that you grace us with that. Their agreement was spiritual and practical, not only theological, for they shared their lives and possessions. The leadership meetings together gives us opportunity to study together, to learn one another, share our possessions, share our knowledge, our ideas, our hearts. They met often to pray, revealing not only relationships with each other, but their total reliance upon God. And this is what we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you do move, work within us. We acknowledge that you are the person, the power that God has given to each of us. He is here to assist and assist us, giving us the ability to serve, to share the life and the power of God's kingdom with one another. The Holy Spirit's power must be received. It is not an automatic experience, but we must invite him into everything that we do. Lord, we see in your word that Psalms 127 says that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So we're asking you to guide us in our coming together. Guide us in our prayers. Protect our communities, our schools, our children. Heal the land, oh God. Please comfort the family in their recent loss, a family that belong and is a part of Madeira. We offer special prayers to this family. Their loss is great. There are no words. And you're the only one that really can give the type of comfort that this family will need in the coming days, the coming weeks. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all of the people did say yes and amen to the will of God. Yes and amen to the will of God.
Thank you very much, Pastor Joyce. If you'll join me in the pledge, please. Ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Moving into public comment, the first 15 minutes of the meeting are reserved for members of the public to address the agency or council on items which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency or council. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes. Speakers will be asked to identify themselves and state the subject of their comment. If the subject is an item on the agenda, the mayor has the option of asking the speaker to hold the comment until that item is called. Comments on items listed as public hearing on the agenda should be held until that hearing is opened. The agenda and council are prohibited by law from taking any action on matters discussed that are not on the agenda, and no adverse conclusions should be drawn if the agency or council does not respond to public comment at this time. Is there anyone wishing to speak under this definition of public comment? Please come forward.
Good evening. I'm Vicki Sloan, 503 North O Street. When I addressed the council at the January 3rd meeting, I asked members Robinson, Foley Gallegos, Rodriguez, and Holly to excuse themselves from my comments, as I believed you didn't deserve to be included in them. Tonight, I speak to you. As it has become obvious that the other three council members and the interim city administrator have an agenda that they intend to force upon us without regard for the consequences, it was refreshing to witness common sense re-enter the discussion at the meeting held on February 14th. I want to thank you for the questions and comments of that evening. I'm really so proud of you. I'm encouraged by your joining together to effect change in the right direction. Mr. Robinson, thank you for providing the voice of reason. I can speak for most of us in the audience on the 14th, and we were thinking exactly what you said. If it isn't broke, there's no need to fix it. Thank you for sticking to your original comments throughout the discussion. Without you and your vote, the outcome could have been drastically different. Mr. Holly, thank you for acknowledging the shortcomings that you've grown tired of, having to learn things from the wrong sources, and the failure of the council to act in the best interest of our people. Without you and your vote, again, an outcome with dire consequences could have prevailed. Ms. Foley Gallegos, thank you for speaking to the promises that were made in the past and giving the necessary consideration to keeping them. So often in the political arena, those promises are all too soon forgotten. Without you and your vote, those promises might have been altogether forgotten or blatantly ignored. Mr. Rodriguez, thank you for your attention to the details. It's so important and yet often overlooked to make sure that the agenda items are clearly understood before being voted upon. Agendized items can be convoluted to the point of confusion and misrepresentation. Without you and your vote, making it of utmost importance that everyone be on the same page, we might not have received that appropriate attention. I hope that the opinion shared and the positive action taken on the 14th was an indicator that things have finally changed for the better. I hope that each of you will continue to vote with your conscience, with integrity, and with the people who depend on you in mind. Each of you may be only one vote, but together, you are the majority of four. Together, you can affect change. Together, you can stop our city from being dragged in a direction that we don't want to go. We're counting on you to do this. Stand together. Be the majority of four. Together, you are strong. Together, you can make the tough decisions, and there will be many. It won't be easy, but again, we will support you. Together, we can. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Ron Montoya, 1292 Peach Court, Madera, California. I'd just like to continue a couple of thank yous. Our neighborhood, who continues to pay $20,000 to $25,000 a month in the community facility district tax, after 4 years, finally got a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit signed on Knox. So thank you. Thank you for the two bus stops. Thank you. We also have some no parking signs now, and we would ask, as be part of the community facility district tax, that you would consider maybe some parking permits for our neighbors who are diesel truck drivers who pay a ton of money in taxes, and to cut them a break, at least maybe give them a three-day pass or some sort of you know, permit to park their diesel trucks along Knox Avenue where the no parking signs are. They work long hours. They're gone months at a time. And just to, you know, park their car to see their kids and their family, I think it would be in everybody's best interest. You know, they're hardworking people, and most of them come to this country with nothing. And they all live together and buy a house cash, buy a diesel truck cash, and they're very united people. And I'm proud of that most of my neighbors are from India. And they're spreading their unity and kindness, and we're learning from them. But I also wanted to I also want to thank Mrs. Gallegos for her response, for not cowering down from this horrific weekend here in this town. Yeah, it's sad. And thoughts and prayers are not enough. And what the lady said before, and we need to become more interdependent and stop using the word I. It needs to stop. And having a gun show, and I know, Mrs. Gallegos, you clarified it was the Board of Supervisors who afforded that sign to the city of Madera. And yes, I was the one who put those pictures up, and I sent you guys an email at how disgusting it was. But I want to thank Mrs. Gallegos for having the guts to say, hey, you know what, and not cowering down and really keeping doing her best to keep the city safe. Because that same weekend, or again on Channel 30 Action News, Sunday night, half a mile away from our home, thoughts and prayers are not enough, my friend. It needs to stop. And it's not like, you know, we just need to work together. Just common sense. We really had a gun show after another mass shooting? Really? It's disgusting. Mr. Mendelin, now is your time to shine. You've been under a lot of heat. Now is your time to have a voice. Now is the time to lead. We need it. And Mrs. Gallegos, thank you for having the guts to respond. Yeah, I'm going to the Board of Supervisors. I'm going to the, you know, Madera Unified. They need to respond. And it's wonderful to see these kids out in Florida taking a stance. That's what diplomacy in our country is all about. So thank you, guys.
Hello, Eddie Block, 916 East Cleveland Avenue. And I wanted to thank everybody, first off, for coming to my Business Watch meeting with Chief Lawson last Tuesday night. It was a great turnout, and we appreciate it. Secondly, the reason I'm here today is I'm giving you guys a heads up. I know I can't ask for anything here, but I would like to let you know that I'm going to come to you guys and ask for the parking lot on the corner of 6th and D. This summer, we want to do a food truck slash, you know, fiesta night or something like that for the local people, something to get everybody downtown, something to get everybody out, and not to Fresno, I should say. So we're trying to build up Madera. It's going to take a long time, and I want your guys' help, and I was going to ask if maybe the city could help us by maybe just giving it to us for a little bit, so that way we can get permits going for all these people that don't have licenses. We can start teaching them how to get their licenses, you know, charging $20 for the night or something, just to get them in the door. Then we can start working our way. I know a lot of them don't want to do it, but if you show them they can do it cheaply and do it right, I think they will. And then we can start making more taxes for our city and getting more people downtown. You know, that's why things are going wrong. If you don't have people down there, they're going to go where there's less people so they can get in more trouble, right? So the police are busy. This will help keep the police less busy. I should say, yes, less busy by having more people downtown, because then people will be less likely to commit crimes down there. So I want you guys to think about it and maybe come with a plan and come meet me. You all have my number. Maybe we can work on getting a Friday night, like a gazebo gardens type thing here in Madera. So that way we have somewhere to go. So thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and I'll go a little farther. So many people told me I'm not going to be able to fix up downtown. I've had more than 60 operations. I've been told I would never walk. I was told I would die by the time I was one. I'm 41 and still here. So everybody that tells me I'm not going to fix up downtown, you're just giving me more of a power to do it, so.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak under public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment. Move into item 5A. This agreement is consideration of a resolution of the City Council of the City of Madera as the successor agency to the former Madera Redevelopment Agency, directing staff to initiate the process of issuing refunding bonds to refinance the bonds of the successor agency. Mr. Deeker.
Actually, I do have an announcement to make regarding this item. Per Government Code Section 54957.5, members of the public are advised that less than 72 hours prior to this evening's meeting, amended resolution for Item 5A was provided to the City Council and staff. If you wish to obtain a copy of this item, it is located on the podium. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia.
Thank you, Mayor. If I may introduce Mr. Deeker. This item tonight is, if approved, will give permission to start the or move forward with the refunding of the successor agency bonds. We currently have four issues outstanding for a total of $44.3 million. Also, the item tonight will allow the appointment of the team to financing team for the bond issue. The city has worked before several times with Del Rio Advisors out of Modesto, and tonight we have Principal Ken Deeker from Del Rio, and he's taken an in-depth look at the successor agency bonds, and he's going to give a presentation of where we're at now, where we're going to go, and great, what it'll take to get there.
Great.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council, as successor agency board, got your hat on. Thank you for listening to me tonight, Ken Deeker with Del Rio Advisors. Yeah, we are, in October of last year, the Director of Financial Services requested that I take a look, detailed look at the city and the agency's debt portfolio. As you know, I've been before you several times in the last 3 or 4 months. We did complete the refunding of the police station lease, which closed on January 5th, and that was also a refinancing and restructuring of the golf course bonds. We also refunded CFD number 2006-1. That refunding closed in January. We continue to take a look at a refunding opportunity for some of the water revenue bonds from Series 2010. Unfortunately, those bonds are not callable until 2020, and the new tax plan eliminated the ability to refund those bonds up until 90 days before that date, called advance refunding. So we're looking at other alternatives that are being considered in the marketplace right now to be able to move forward on that. And then we also took a detailed look at the successor agency bonds from 1998, 2003, and there's two series of bonds from 2008. The resolution before you tonight seeks permission to move forward on the refunding and to appoint the financing team. In January, I went out and requested fee proposals at the direction of the agency and the city for firms to act as underwriter, bonds counsel, disclosure counsel, and fiscal consultant. In your staff report is a description of what each of those parties will do in the financing. The low fee proposal was a firm called Brandis Tallman out of San Francisco at $2.10 per bond, which I can tell you is an amazingly low bid. Spent a lot of time talking with them. I've done several transactions with these folks and spent a lot of time talking with them about their successor agency experience. They priced last week a $36 million El Cajon deal. They're very active in the local region around here with Reedley, Chowchilla, and other agencies that they work with. So we're making a recommendation to bring them on board as part of, as the underwriter for these bonds. For bond counsel, we received four proposals. Jones Hall, who acted as bond counsel in the CFD 2006-1 refunding, came in as a low bidder for $50,000 total to do both roles. The bond counsel will structure the legal documents, and the disclosure counsel prepares the official statement. That's the marketing document used by the underwriting firm. And then the fiscal consultant will prepare a special report that does a projection, looks back at all the historical growth and assessed value in the project areas, does a projection of future tax increment, looks at all the pass-throughs of the agency. That detailed report is used to create tables for the official statement and is a document that is an appendix to the official statement that the bond investors will see. The low bid there was Fraser & Associates with a fee of $20,000 and capped expenses at $6,000. And they also did work on the 2008 bond and have a lot of data. So our recommendation is to go with Fraser & Associates. Now, as far as the refunding, there are four series of bonds outstanding of about $44.3 million. Interest rates ranging from 4.375% up to 5.375%. All these bonds are currently refundable in September. The estimated financing savings, and these are pretty significant, and I do want to quote here that these are conservative. They were based on interest rates as of February 15th. As you may know, interest rates have been rising pretty significantly. Part of the reason for that, there seems to be a lot of inflation in the market. The inflation report came out at 2.1%. Jobs report was strong. That's pushing interest rates higher. The municipal market generally follows the treasury market higher. But there is a couple of other dynamics which are making things very interesting in my world right now. The new tax act Eliminated advance refundings, as I mentioned earlier. That's about 25% of the volume of bonds done last year. So that's decreased the amount of volume. There's still a huge demand, but decreased volume, that's good for interest rates. But on the demand side of the equation, they lowered corporate tax rates 21%, which decreases demand and the advantage of owning tax-exempt bonds. So the market right now is really choppy, trying to figure out these new dynamics based on the Tax Act. The estimated cash flow savings are about $620,000 a year, dropping down to about $500,000 a year, and dropping down to about $400,000 a year at the end of the schedule, for a total savings of $10.769 million, which is a net present value benefit of $4.884 million, or 11.01% of the outstanding prior bonds. CDAC makes a recommendation that savings in the 3 to 5% range are considered significant. So as you can see, this is a very attractive refunding. I have been conservative in my estimated costs and the interest rates for these numbers. Right now, we could do better, but it's going to be a process to get this bond to market. So let me tell you a little bit about those steps. If the agency board approves moving forward this evening, the remaining steps for formal approval are as follows. And you will see this item on a couple of more occasions as successor agency board. I need to prepare a refunding plan and savings analysis, which determines there are significant potential savings from the refunding, which I've already started working on that. That's part of the analysis I shared with you tonight. Bond counsel will prepare the appropriate documentation for the issuance of the refunding bonds. The agency board, your hat, will review the documentation and will approve the refunding, moving the item to the oversight board. The oversight board will review the documentation, and if they approve the refunding, they'll move the documentation to Madera County, administrative officer, the auditor controller, and most importantly, to the State of California Department of Finance, who now oversees successor agency refundings. Department of Finance has 5 days to reply that they will review it, and up to 60 days to reply with formal approval or denial of the refunding plan. In the interim, while we're in that 60-day period, Disclosure Counsel will prepare the official statement, which will be brought back again to the agency board for your final approval. So there is a couple of additional steps. We're just asking for permission to move forward tonight, get the team on board, and start the clock ticking with DOF. So all the parties were selected via competitive process. We are proposing a public offering as the preferred sale type due to the final term of the financing and the relatively large size, plus or minus $40 million. There are significant total savings right now. Average annual savings of approximately $539,000 per year through 2038. Net present value savings of $4.8 million, or over 11%. And there's a significant benefit to the city's general fund of approximately $127,291 per year, because of those savings, a portion of those savings would come back. It's about 23% of those savings would come back to the city's general fund as unrestricted property taxes. There are a couple of structuring alternatives that we'll be exploring as a team. When we come back to the successor agency board, we'll brief you on the alternatives so you guys can make a more formal decision as to the proposed structure. One of those is to accelerate the savings in the earlier years so all the taxing entities would get the savings earlier, but that reduces your net present value. So there's some things that we need to brief you on and get direction from the agency board once we get the team assembled. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions tonight.
Thank you, Ken. Very informative, and anytime we can save some money, that's a great thing. But obviously you're here so that we – time is of the essence. We need to move forward as quick as possible.
Yes, sir.
Mayor Pro Tem Rodriguez has a question.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Madoin. Okay, you know, I just want to make sure I'm clear here. When you say total cost savings and net value savings, can you define that for me, please?
So the total savings, the $10.8 million, that is the total debt service to debt service savings. So that's what you would save over the term of the bonds. And then the net present value savings is a discounted figure back to today's dollar. So that's the current day's dollar benefit of all of those future savings.
So at the end of the day, would you say that the total savings that we would really have for these bonds would be the $10 million?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, thank
over
you.
The life of the bonds. But again,
yes,
those aren't realized for a number of years out through 2038. Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Deeker? Seeing none, if there's no questions, I will certainly entertain a motion from the council.
Mr. Mayor, I also move to approve item 5A.
It's been properly moved and seconded to approve item 5A as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thanks again, Ken. Moving on to item 5B, this is consideration of a resolution of the City Council as the successor agency approving the debt management policy.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Government code requires that prior to issuing debt, that the successor agency must approve the debt management policy. You know, a couple of the items that are in the policy is what the purpose for which the proceeds may be used for and the type of the debt that can be issued, among other things. Mr. Deeker, along with the successor agency treasurer, has prepared the policy, and if you have any questions, he can go into more detail.
Anything you want to add to that? As a point of reference, you, as the City Council, you approved a similar debt policy prior to the issuance of the lease and the CFD bonds. The successor agency, as a separate entity, also needs to approve its own debt policy. And it is very restricted to health and safety code limitations per successor agency dissolution. So this policy is very specific to the successor agency. The successor agency can no longer issue bonds except to refund prior obligations, which is what we propose to do tonight. So this covers those types of issues.
Just to keep us in compliance.
Correct.
Again, any questions of Mr. Deeker regarding this particular basic house cleaning item?
Move to approve item 5B as presented.
Second.
Once again, it's been properly moved and seconded to approve item 5B as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Ken, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Moving on to agency member report, starting at my far right, I will ask agency member Robinson for any report.
Nothing to report.
Councilwoman Gallegos.
Nothing to report.
Councilman Rigby.
Nothing to report.
Councilman Hawley.
Nothing to report.
Mayor Pro Tem Rodriguez.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Councilman Oliver.
Nothing to report.
And I have nothing to report. So that will adjourn this portion of the meeting, and we'll just take a minute or two to switch over to our regular meeting.
Do I still have a late distribution announcement?
For this one as well.
Yes.
I missed the last one.
We can start off with that.
Yeah. Okay, Zelda, are we all set? Great. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now continue with our regular meeting of the Madera City Council, and we have a late distribution announcement. Zelda.
Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, members of the public are advised that documents related to the following agenda item were distributed to the council less than 72 hours before this meeting. Under hearings, petitions, bids, resolutions, ordinances, and agreements, C3, consideration of a resolution approving an agreement with Ron Manfredi for administrative review and consulting services and authorizing the mayor to execute the agreement. A revised agreement was distributed to the council this evening. Extra copies are available at the podium for members of the public wishing a copy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Zelda. It is not often, ladies and gentlemen, that somebody dedicates 41 years to any one particular craft. And tonight I have the pleasure of congratulating our fire captain, Randy Cooper, for 41 years of service to Madera. If I can have Captain Cooper come up, as well as Captain Jim Forga, Chief. If you'll please come forward and be recognized.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members. We just want to recognize Randy for his 41 years of dedication, specifically because Randy is one of only two original Madera City Fire Department employees. Back in 1993, we did a cooperative agreement, and Randy was one of the driving forces behind it. And I felt that it was very, very appropriate for us to honor him and his loyalty and dedication to the citizens of Madera and the state of California. So, Randy, job well done, and thank you.
Thank you. I don't have much to say. A lot of changes in 41 years here in the city of Madera. I got the opportunity to come back from the Marine Corps and serve as a firefighter in my hometown, which meant a lot to me. One thing that didn't change, it hasn't changed, is the loyalty, the courage, and the dedication of the people that I'm passing the torch to. Some of them are sitting here today. I had an opportunity to work with a lot of great people over these years, and it was an honor and a privilege to serve the people of Madera. I have to say a big thank you to my family. Being a first responder is very hard on the family unit, as everybody knows, and I would not be here today without my wife, Penny, my daughter, Crystal, my granddaughter, Lillian, and my son, Wayne, who is also still in the Marine Corps and down in Oceanside. So big thank you to my family. They're my rock, and they were there. That's why I survived all these years.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Once again, we can't express our thanks enough to you and your dedication to our community. And when somebody steps up, as you have, there's always somebody behind you. And obviously, there's a great group of people here that have supported you over the years, but it always starts with a wonderful supporting family. So I appreciate you recognizing them, because we all know that you can't do what you do without that support. Exactly. And so with that, I let it be resolved that I, Mayor Andrew Madillon, do hereby proclaim this 21st day of February 2018 as a day in celebration of Fire Captain Randy Cooper's service to the City of Madera, and offer the best wishes for a happy and healthful retirement. That's amazing. 41 years. That's something. That's fantastic. Moving into our consent calendar, I will ask if there's any council member wishing to pull a consent item for any further discussion or question. If not, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, so moved to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for that. Moving into item C1, this is consideration of a resolution approving an intent to participate agreement with the Madera County Public Health Department regarding mass prophylaxis dispensing.
Yes. So this has to do with the federally maintained strategic national stockpile, which is specifically antibiotics and medical supplies should we suffer either a bioterrorism event or a severe pandemic that requires distribution. The strategic national stockpile is placed throughout the United States. County public health departments have to have a plan for disbursement within their county. Our county public health department is planning on using a two-pronged approach. One is public clinics to pick up the medication. The other is partnerships with local employers to distribute to their employees. So if we were to enter into this agreement, which staff is recommending, we would take distribution from the public health department, and then we would distribute it to our employees and their immediate family members. There's no liability to the city. There's no cost beyond some minimal training for staff. We already participate with the public health department's emergency preparedness coalition. So timing-wise, there would really not be any more staff dedication than we already have spending on this topic. I can answer any questions if you have them.
Wendy, thank you very much. Any questions of Ms. Silva regarding this particular item?
Yeah, I have a question, mm-hmm. Mr. Madillon. Thank you, Mayor. Wendy, just out of curiosity, when you say stockpile, is this something that have we gone through this before, the city? Is this the first time the city has encountered or been part of a mass effort of this?
No, we're not. The strategic national stockpile is already distributed. It has been for several years. What they're working on now with the local public health departments is their local plan for getting the product out. So what that stockpile is, it is prepackaged 10-day supplies. There's two different types of antibiotic in case somebody has an allergy or depending on what we're responding to. They will provide it to us. It comes with instructions to you. You get a bottle that's a 10-day supply. Comes with instructions on what to do for kids or how to grind the medication if somebody needs to. We basically take our list of employees and they say, I have five people in my house. We hand them five. But it's just an effort for what do we do if we have to distribute it? No, we have not had to date to get it out as quickly as possible.
Now, you did mention employees, and is that the only responsibility that we as a city have is to distribute it to employees?
For us, because we are not in the business of public health. The Madera County Public Health Department is in the business of public health. So we are entering into this agreement as an employer who would distribute to our employees. They would run any public clinics, and we would work with them if they needed distribution sites, such as our community centers, where members of the public who weren't covered by one of these types of agreements could go to get the distribution.
Okay. And last but not least, these stockpiles, are they somewhere within, I'm assuming, reach, right, if it came down to something like
they
that?
They are.
Okay. You know where?
I do.
Okay.
But I can't share that.
Okay. I'm just making sure. As long as no way we have something, we're good. Thank you, Wendy.
It's not far. I can tell you that.
All right. Great.
Any other questions regarding this particular item? Seeing none, if there is no further questions or discussions, I will entertain a motion.
I motion to approve C1. Mayor McMillan.
It's been properly moved and seconded to approve item C1 as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item C2, this is consideration of a resolution approving program supplement agreement number F058. I'll keep it short.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. My name is Ellen Bitter. I'm one of the engineers in the engineering department, and I'm here to present this to you tonight. It is essentially an administrative item ratifying a grant that the city was successful in receiving through the Highway Safety Improvement Program. It's federal funding. The federal funds come down through Caltrans, and Caltrans approves or considers the grants and approves the funding. The city is eligible to apply for federal funding and to administer federally transportation-funded grants through a master agreement that we executed with Caltrans back in May of 2016. And basically, it assures that the city has the capability of administering these types of grants. We're familiar with the programs, what is required to include in the contract documents. And then once we have received specific funding through any of these federal programs, whether it's CMAQ or the Highway Safety Improvement Program or the Active Transportation Program, each project then has a specific program supplement agreement. Mm-hmm. And that further outlines any conditions or terms that need to be followed in implementing that grant. This particular grant is for a sidewalk and safety improvement near Thomas Jefferson Middle School. The sidewalks are filling in the gaps, so we have a solid paved surface, and it extends from Doubletree to Schnorr. And then the safety improvement related to the middle school is a pedestrian refuge islands that will be constructed in the roadway so that if kids are darting across, they've got a place to be away from the cars, and they can get up off of the pavement surface for that. We are working on the environmental and the engineering plans, and we hope to have this project out to bid this summer. And one of the requirements in the program supplement agreement is that we have to have the project completed by the end of the year. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bitter. Any questions regarding this particular item? I have to say thank you so very much for your efforts. We have actually the first phase of those sidewalks near Thomas Jefferson have just worked out tremendously. I mean, not only for the safety of the kids, some of the homeowners are very appreciative that their lawn is not dead with dirt walking pads on them. And I know we have the flashing pedestrian crossing, which seems to really help. But the more we can do like this particular project or projects to ensure the safety of our kids, absolutely. So I'm really hoping, I'm assuming that with these timelines, we can get this project done by the end of the year.
Yes, this one, with the preliminary engineering efforts, it looks positive that we'll be able to meet those deadlines.
Great. Thank you very much for that. Any other questions or concerns regarding this item? This is two-part. This is item C2, but there's A, which will improve the supplement agreement, and then B, authorizing the city engineer to execute the program. All in one? In that case, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, so move to approve item C2 as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve item C2. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thanks again, Ellen. Moving on to item C3, this is consideration of a resolution approving an agreement with Ron Manfredi for the admin review and consulting services.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. The resolution you have before you is, if you approve, we'll accept a contract for services to be provided by Ron Manfredi. This is both a request by council as well as citizens. Ron will provide written and verbal feedback and recommendations to the City Council during the workshop to be held during open session with compensation consultants hired through City's RFP process to evaluate and determine comparable agencies and define the elements of total compensation to be included in the study, including methodology and how each element will be valued for comparison purposes. Ron will review the draft compensation study to be prepared by the compensation consultant to evaluate proper comparable cities and positions used in the study, proper measurement of the defined elements of compensation, as well as provide any revised recommendations for consideration in writing to the city to be provided to the compensation consultant. Upon receipt of the final compensation study report, review existing management contracts and provide options to the City Council for implementation of findings in the compensation study. Options will be provided in writing and provide the Council with a menu of choices that outlines both the positive and negative impacts of implementing each option. Mr. Manfredi will report to City Council regarding consideration review of water utility rate assumptions, related maintenance, personnel staffing, CIP percentages, and long-term capital improvement plans and funding sources and the revenue for these operations. He will identify in that process the role of developmental impact fees and their relationship to capital projects included in the rate calculations and key benchmarks to be aware of in progressing with the current impact fee study. Additionally, at council discretion, Mr. Manfredi will provide two governance workshops. His recommendation is one at the front end of his service and then one when council has hired a new city administrator. And the council has also asked for him to be involved in some capacity in the hiring of the new city administrator. These scope of work that I've read will be provided by Mr. Manfredi at a cost of $25,000, all inclusive. And if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them at this point. Ron did make it at the last minute, but he is here and
I noticed
able to ask questions if you have any of him as well.
Your timing is impeccable. Thank you very much, Mr. Frazier. Any questions of Mr. Frazier regarding this particular item and or Mr. Manfredi, who has joined us this evening? Councilwoman Gallegos.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Madillon. I just wanted to clarify, because I read the Tribune also, I love Madera Tribune, that said that Mr. Manfredi would be reporting directly to our interim. I'd like to thank Steve Frazier for working so closely with Mr. Manfredi on trying to do what's best for our council and our community. And just to clarify, he'll be reporting to City Council and also our interim with ideas and results that he gets from his studies. So again, Mr. Frazier, thank you so much for all the help that you put into this so that we can all come to agreement and come up with great solutions.
I would also like to clarify that while he might report, his work is independent of me entirely, and that work will be presented to you for your review and decision points.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions regarding this particular item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for action.
Move to approve item C3 as presented.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded to approve item C3 as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for that. Item E1, this is consideration of a minute order accepting a report on the status of the proposed projects in the CIP program for fiscal year 2018-19. Mr. Helmuth.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. I won't be presenting this item either. Instead, I'd like to introduce Jimmy Monreal as the presenter and a new member of our staff. As I understand, many of you do know him. for those who do not know him, he's been a resident of Madera since 1989. He is married to his wife, Peggy, of 32 years. They raise 9 children here in Madera. He's a graduate of Santa Clara University with a degree in finance and a minor in Spanish. He has 20 years experience in the banking industry, 10 years working as a chief business official with the Central Valley School Districts. In addition to this, if you don't think he keeps busy with all this stuff, he's past president of the Madera National Little League, past president of the Madera Babe Ruth, past and current president of St. Joachim's School Board, past member of St. Joachim's Parish Council, past board member of the Madera Community Hospital, past board member of City Madera Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, and then past president of Madera Council YMI number 60. I'm not sure what that is, but perhaps you can go ahead and explain that.
The Young Men's Institute of St. Joachim's Church.
There you go. Jimmy will go ahead and give the presentation, and there will be several of us to answer any questions if you do have any.
Great, thank you.
And please welcome Jimmy.
Mr. Helmuth, Mayor Medellin, members of the City Council, members of the public, it's my distinct pleasure to be here tonight to present the initial look at our 2018-19 to 2022-23 Capital Improvement Plan for the City of Madera. Little background, especially for some of us newbies, including myself. The plan, to me, is critical because it's a working document. It's a working document to show how we, as the City of Madera, want to continue to enhance our assets here for the city. We want to continue to construct, rehabilitate, resurface, maintain many of our assets throughout the city. And the critical component, to me, is it creates a lot of synergy amongst the departments within the city to make it very, very successful. So part of this project, what we do is identify current and then future scheduling that's needed for these defined projects that in some cases have been previously approved by you as the City Council. And we go through how we're going to progress with these projects starting in or continuing to 18-19 up to 2022 and 23 and even further and beyond. We want to focus attention on these projects, especially as they meet our short-term and our long-term needs throughout the city. A critical component is coordinating these projects and how we can maximize the funding attached to it. And then how do we address the funding, especially when we have construction costs that may rise or when a project goes out to bid, and how we're going to make up maybe some differences or shortfalls based upon some increased or implemented programs that now are needing to be faced. And even more critically is the ability to inform the public of what we're doing as a city. What are the successes that we're having based upon the different funding sources that we have throughout this project? And really review and update this annually to you as the council and also to our citizens of Madera. So what creates the synergy? It's the fact of all these departments that come together to create this plan. It's not just one department, for example, us as engineering creating this piece. It's working with the airport. It's working with community development, engineering, fire department, parks and community services, public works, the RDA successor agency, transit, and in the background, of course, working closely with finance departments to determine where we are, especially when it comes to the funding mechanisms. So as part of this synergy, airport, for example, will work with the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, to create their ACIP, which we then progress into our City of Madera Capital Improvement Plan. Airport will then work with us in engineering to incorporate these projects into the city's CIP plan. Community development works closely with engineering, one, to provide oversight and direction for the engineering department, and to work and see exactly what the future overall role will be within us, within the city. Fire department works with us closely, especially now as we know we're looking to enhance and build some facilities in here. What are we gonna do regarding project design? What are we gonna do regarding rolling out these funding mechanisms to make them match? Parks and community services create tremendous synergy with us as we work in the construction delivery of park projects, pedestrian, bike trails throughout the city. How do we maximize the fundings to make those really extrapolate into a better community. The RDA successor works with us, especially when we look at construction management, design, the services that then rehabilitate and revitalize the city's infrastructure. And transit really works closely with us as far as how do we review the transit projects that are going to positively affect the city and really project the funding that's available that really doesn't just go to buses and transit facilities, but also to the rehabilitation of streets that are then used as the surface ways for these projects. So as part of the staff report that was sent out, the CIP, as I mentioned before, is really critical because it's a working document. It tracks the progress, updates them, how we move from year to year. Some of the key components that are really critical that we've seen advancement, traffic signals are progressing, especially in design phase for Howard and Westbury, as well as Howard and Granada. And we've awarded the Yosemite Elm signal that we hope to be in construction very, very soon based upon the multiple funding sources. As Ellen mentioned, sidewalks are progressing, not just at John Adams or along Sunset to Thomas Jefferson, but also at Washington School, which really has a tremendous need for those students also advancing to and from school. But a critical component, as we've had these projects now come to fruition, is we're seeing our fund challenges are really beginning to burgeon. They're really beginning to extrapolate and grow. As was presented to you at the last meeting, transit expenditures, based upon the most recent review that was done regarding the fare increase, it's reducing the amount that's available for the CIP conformity projects. So we know that we're going to have to return to council to look at how are we going to prioritize the projects to match the appropriate funding sources. That'll be some critical decisions that'll have to be made about which direction we choose. There'll be some, for example, looking at these recent expenses, especially from these projects. Do we push out projected widening of streets? Do we push out projected projects that really benefit the general whole for the community based upon the limited number of funds that we have? So this prioritization will be coming forward, especially as we continue to work on this process, which affects us not just next year, but for the next 4 to 5 years, especially based upon some of the priorities that have been already approved by the council and are now being implemented as they go to construction. So what are the steps we're bringing tonight as part of the process and the report? And you've also received all the individual project reports. As one, gives you, the council, the ability to review the projects, ask questions that are accordingly to them. You also have the annual requirement of conformity. And by doing that, we ask for the direction tonight, because our next step would be to take this to planning to make sure that it conforms with the city's general plan. And again, it's a working document, because I can assure you, being here about 3 months, that it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things I have to already go in and massage to really make feel that it's a really thorough report. And with that, we continue to, our plan is to update you as these changes occur. And with that, I'll open up questions to me and my peers from the department.
Thank you very much, Mr. Monreal, for that informative report. And again, welcome to the city of Madera.
Thank you.
Any questions of Jim at this point? Councilwoman Gallegos.
Jim, I had a question. I'm looking at the CIPs, and I'm just wondering how come we're looking at storm drainage not happening until 2023 if we're looking at places we need to put water when we do get it? Why are we projecting so far out?
I'm going to refer that one to Mr. Helms.
I'm just going to go ahead and come up.
Yep.
Flashing red light.
I think the items that you're looking at as part of our, what we do is we add some projects in there to the CIP for AB 1600. One of the things about development impact program funding is that we have to go ahead and show a home for the funding. We either have to go ahead and spend the money within 5 years, or we have to go ahead and identify the projects that the DIF, that the, I'll call it DIF, that the DIF funding is targeted towards. And we have a number of projects within the storm drain master plan, the sewer master plan, water master plan, and so on, that they need funding for, but we haven't gotten to the, but we haven't got the funding to go ahead and cover specific projects. I think in the cases where you're looking at, you'll see that the overall a negative balance on the DIF account. If there's a negative balance, or actually I take that back, I'm going to reverse myself, you'll see a positive balance. If we have a positive balance, we want to go ahead and make certain to show that we do in fact have a home for that money, and we and we know we're going to put it somewhere at place. That, in some cases, it's a very large number. In other cases, it's just enough money to go ahead and match the balance that's shown in the account.
Okay. I had another question. Looking at the CIP, when it came to the fire station on the west side, it's saying construction's not going to happen until 2021. Is that correct?
The construction, where I think we're planning on going to that.
It's not that one. It's, where is it? 1920, that's what it is. The construction will happen in 1920?
It'll probably happen earlier. We were planning on going to construct, or planning on advertising May, June.
Okay, because I thought, according to the team, we were looking at completion April of 19. So that's why I questioned it to go to 2020.
That's one of the aspects of the CIP. We don't have everything placed in there absolutely perfectly, but the construction is moving ahead. The fire station is well along on its design process.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. Mm-hmm.
Councilman Oliver.
Excellent presentation, Mr. Monreal, and welcome to our team. And I just wanted to ask for a status update on a project that has been a part of our CIP for a number of years. And I understand that we've made some progress on with regard to the UPRR undercrossing project that would connect the Vermicola Trail, essentially both sides of our city. Do we have any update as to where we are with the rail?
You and Ellen has that.
Perfect.
Thank you. Yes, this is one of those federally funded projects that we discussed earlier. It has the CMAQ funds in it, and it also received an active transportation program grant. It's a very involved project because of all the different agencies that we're dealing with. We're making strides with the railroad. They like the project, which it took us 10 years to get there. And so now we're working on a formal agreement. I'm told there's a draft coming any day to us to look at. We also need approval from the Public Utilities Commission because it's considered a crossing, albeit an undercrossing. And then Caltrans is our funding administrator, so we have the Caltrans process involved through it. And then we have the numerous agencies because we're working in the river as well. So all those balls are up in the air, and we are making positive steps forward. I don't want to promise dates, but my goal is to have approvals from everybody maybe by this summer, so then we can put the project out to bid. So it's not, goals. It's still alive.
Absolutely, great. Well, thank you for that update. I would ask, whether it be informally via email correspondence or formally through future agenda items, to bring back those updates. That's certainly a project I am very excited for. I think my colleagues and I appreciate all your work on that. And one of my other questions, and I understand if we don't have a whole lot of information at this time, is one of the projects where we have a dollar figure as a line item for 2023 is the relocation of a future city hall. Any thoughts or input as to that process, or now that's the mayor?
I'll take that. That's one of the projects where I think Jimmy described that we are required to demonstrate that for development impact fees we collect that we actually have an intended use for those funds, but that we don't have adequate funding at present to construct or install a particular kind of facility. So in this case, the installation or the construction of a new city hall would be partially funded by new development and partially funded by some other funding source. In any case, we had neither that other funding source or the portion of development impact fees required to construct it. So that, if you look at our CIP on an annual basis, you'll see that we have a city hall addition programmed. It's always in the last year of the funding cycle, and it just continues to get pushed back each year, and that helps us demonstrate that we do have a project that's intended, but that we don't have the funding to construct it within the five-year span.
I appreciate that clarification. And just lastly, I asked a question, I believe, of Keith earlier in the day about the alleyways that are set for paving. Maybe if we could just elaborate to the methodology behind that prioritization.
That will probably be Ellen as well. And since we started that earlier today, we went back through the project list and confirmed about half of what we had on our original project list had been constructed by or paved as part of the public works for solid waste. They go ahead and put it down so that the trucks have a spot to go without creating mud holes and dust. And I'll let Ellen expand on that.
Thank you. The alley project is funded with congestion mitigation air quality funds. So it's an air quality enhancing project. It's for reducing the dust emissions from unpaved alleys. So our list that we now have is about 24, 25 on the list that we have prepared to get environmentally cleared. And then we probably won't be able to pave all of those. Our focus is going to be on those that have higher traffic because the traffic on the dust creates the emissions. So we'll be prioritizing of those to maximize how many alleys we can pave within the funds available that we have. It's a good-sized project.
Absolutely.
So we hope to be able to get to 15, maybe more. They won't be our typical alley standard that you would see because it's really just a dust mitigation measure. We have to control the dust for 10 years or so to meet the air district standards.
Great. Thank you for that clarification again. And perhaps to maybe add as an exhibit to the CIP or maybe just in follow-up information, I think it would be really helpful to see those potential alleyways on an aerial map as to what's planned for paving. And I think that would be beneficial. Thank you so much.
Good point. Great question. Councilman Robinson.
Yes, I was. I've been concerned about Raymond Road since 2014. They have a, you know, I've been asking, you know, the county also about building a roundabout, you know, to prevent all the speeding coming from Road 28, and they have also Kennedy Street going in there and 16 and. And it's really a mess. The streets are we say, full of potholes. And recently, the house on the corner had burned down. And at nighttime, you see homeless people walking along the river, and you can't see them at night. And it's a mess. You know, any way we can have collaboration between the county and we're trying to put it together since it's on the border?
Right now, the ability to control speed, it's possible that I don't think that we have a radar study out in that area. What we can do is go ahead and do a radar study to figure out what the 85th percentile speed is and try to go ahead and get some enforcement in the area. With regard to roundabouts and the like, we are actually studying a roundabout right now. And that can be an option for any particular location. I'm not sure whether that would be ideal right now. We can.
It's big enough, you know.
It depends on whether it's big enough and what kind of traffic, how big the roundabout gets. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, when you design the roundabout, you're going to be picking a 20-year lifespan for that, so that hopefully after 20 years it's still functioning. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and look at the location. That's Kennedy and
Kennedy and
Raymond Road
28. You know, it's like five street coming together.
Yes. Yeah, I think I have it pictured in my mind.
I talked to a couple of supervisors. You know, Max Rodriguez. I brought him out there.
Yeah. It. A lot of these things will come down to funding. We'll go ahead and take a look at it, and we'll go ahead and get you a report.
Right on the border, right? You know.
It sounds like it's right on the border.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's forsaken.
We'll go ahead and take a look at it.
Thank you.
Mayor, public comment?
Mayor Pro Tem, you know, I'll be happy to recognize you. One question for Mayor Pro Tem, and be happy to hear your thoughts.
Thank you, Mayor Mandelin. Mr. Monreal, you brought up a good point in that this is a work in progress, and you know, the question that I wanted to ask is that I know I'd see some capital improvements that, you know, in the past I've heard that they would probably get some construction at some point or another. And I'll just bring an example like that Westbury Bridge. Now, these are items that are probably put in place to be able to satisfy the capital improvement piece here. But at what point do we start looking at having something like that going forward? I know it's not a big priority, but at what point do we start looking at possibly looking at funding something like this? And maybe the question that I should ask is, what are our main funding sources? Are we only looking out for grants and other than impact fees, what other sources of revenue are we trying to collect for these types of projects?
The funding that's been collected at that particular location thus far has primarily been development impact fee. It is collecting rather slowly. As we go through the update of the development impact fee program, we'll start to get an idea of what it takes to go ahead and fund. I think it's a laundry list of probably 6 to 8 bridges right now, plus a number of other improvements. Now, in terms of that particular location, we'll be looking at prioritization of what comes first. For instance, Granada Drive, that's a half bridge right now. And we have some concerns with that with regard to pedestrian crossings. We're actually trying to look for a grant on that. Westbury Bridge, probably more, I'll say it's more problematic, but we can go ahead and speak with Yvette and see if there's any possible grants out there to assist on that. That particular bridge would be running at least $5 million, and I believe what we've got in the bank right now is about $1 million, something like that. I can pull up the number of what we think we have right now.
No, and that's fine. So, you know, the next question would be, you know, the more that we prolong these, obviously the cost of building go up. So, I mean, we're projecting it's probably $5 million, but by the time we really get at it, I mean, we could be looking at maybe twice as much.
That is entirely possible.
So, my thing is, you know, my concern is how do we go about, is it just grant funding that we're looking for? Is there anything else that we turned every rock over? And
generally speaking, bringing grant funding forward to go ahead and do typical infrastructure projects gets to be somewhat difficult. It's easier to go. Typically, grant funding is looking at things like safety or problems with your sewer, water, storm systems. For roadways, that's generally a component of growth. It doesn't mean that there aren't grants out there. It just means that they're far, far more difficult to go ahead and obtain. To be able to fund that, we can go ahead and make strides towards it, but it'll come at a cost to other improvements. We have a number of revenue sources, but they're all pretty much targeted towards other CIP projects, in the CIP at the moment.
And I think that if we continue to kick the can down the road, essentially with even development impact fees, I don't know that we'll ever catch up to make it happen. So to my point is, you know, if this is the only way of trying to source funds, you know, I'll go back to what I initially said is we have to find different streams of revenue. And, you know, I know that maybe this is not, it's not lying in the engineering department, but, you know, the idea of possibly commercializing something that comes out, you know, obviously Mendota just landed this big facility where they might be getting $800,000 yearly. You know, and I bring that back because this is something that the city, at times lacks, is not wanting to go out and pursue something that can potentially bring revenue into our city and help us with the infrastructures that we desperately need.
Yes.
I'm not saying that the bridge is one of them, but there are other items in there that we can potentially fund and build out so that we meet the essentials that we need for the city to run efficiently. So I'll say it again, you know, obviously the cannabis industry has been growing popularity amongst the regions of California. I know that many of you might not think it's something that we want to pursue, but I've always stressed out on the commercial side of it because I think it can bring big loads of revenue. Something to look into. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Sure.
You know, I'm not looking for us to, again, dispense any of it. Commercial. Commercial is big, a lot of money in that. I think we can get a lot of revenue to help some of the capital improvement projects that we have before us.
Understood.
Thank you very much for that, Mayor Pro Tem. I'll ask if there's anybody in the audience wishing to come forward and if you have any comments, as a reminder, I just need your name and address for the record.
Hi again. Sorry, I'll keep this short. 1292 Peach Court, Madera, California, 93638. Great idea, my friend. A lot of my patients use cannabis.
Okay.
Where I live is, you know, the community facility district tax. Like, again, we pay $20,000 to $25,000 a month. Most of these projects happen on this side of the track, okay? There's a term called institutional racism. And we got to make sure that we don't fall into that. Okay, you got the Westbury Bridge, you got the street light on Yelm and so forth. Right here on Knox, here's Knox, here's Olive. Here's the school right here. We desperately need a signal right here. There's so many accidents at this intersection, okay? So many accidents. What he's talking about is right here on Raymond, okay? I have a lot of family members here. What he's talking about, I agree with. I lived over here since 2007. He's right. There's a lot of homeless people. But you know what? Those are citizens. And he's right. A lot of them you can't see at night. All this is Kennedy. This is Chapin. There's another road back here. This is all potholes. He's right. We do need to make sure that we don't forget about our homeless and our less fortunate. You know, we don't want to fall into institutional racism, okay? We need these roads needed to get fixed a long time ago. And Mr. Hawley, this is your job to make sure that you're validating why you're there, okay? We needed a sign right here. We just got signals. It took us 4 years, and our community pays $20,000 to $25,000. It's shameful that you're not up here advocating for a signal right here. There's accidents all day here, but most of these projects are on this side of the track. Get my drift? That could be the definition of institutional racism, and we cannot fall into that. We need to start being more active, okay? There's a lot of nice people, a lot of homeless people here, okay? It'd be great if we can build a nice homeless facility. You know, these people are citizens. They're human beings. We got to come with a sense of humanity now. It's enough's enough.
Mayor Medill, may I say something? Mr. Montoya, Mr. Hawley and I have been working with Mr. Merchant on that intersection that you're talking about on Knox and Olive, right there by Sierra Vista.
Right.
Yes, we have been working with Mr. Merchant on trying to figure out what to do there, because trying to turn that corner is crazy, and trying to cross it is crazy. So we are in the process of...
It is crazy, because right here, they're nice people.
Yes.
There's palm trees right here.
Yes.
And you can't see this way.
Code enforcement's been working with them, too.
All right. And they're nice people. Yeah, great, nice carnations in the summer. Great people. You know, that word institute, what is that? Eminent domain. You know, it stinks. You know, but it does prevent you from crossing. And, you know, these people here and you guys are aware. So
thank you. Thank you for your input, Mr. Montoya. I appreciate that. I'm sorry, Keith, do you have something to add?
Our Olive Avenue project does address the intersection of Knox and Olive. We do have an appraisal which will eventually be brought to council after we settle through a few things with regard to purchasing that property on the corner. We did have a recent concern. We've had several concerns about the intersection of Knox and Olive. But we did have a recent one that seems to indicate that with the growth in the housing that we may actually be approaching a point where stop sign warrants or traffic signal warrants will be met. We cannot install traffic signals or stop signs without warrants being met for fear of creating more accidents as a result of what we are attempting to go ahead and fix. One of the things at the intersection was our attempts to go ahead and remove the palm trees. That was a first attempt at removing one of the problems with the intersection that might be causing accidents. At that time, my review of the accident history was not such that it indicated that we were meeting any warrants based upon accidents or traffic volumes or the like. But my last review as a result of the recent concern conveyed to our department showed that there has been a change in the trend, but I did want to go out and confirm that the palm trees were gone. One thing about the Olive Avenue project is, regardless of whether the signal is warranted at this particular time, we are planning on installing the traffic signal poles that will go in there, so we're better set up to go ahead and move to a traffic signal once warranted.
If stop sign warrants are met, we will in fact install the stop signs.
Great, Keith. Thank you.
We are following policies as I know them, and there are national standards.
Thank you very much for that input, Councilman Hawley.
Yeah, just to let Ron know, I have been working on these. I know it's my district, and I just want you to know you don't know what I do every day, but you should ask me before you make a public comment like that. Thank you.
Councilman Oliver.
With regard to the Olive Avenue project, looking at the CIP, we do have line items there for acquisition and construction. Does that also include right-of-way, professional right-of-way services, Keith?
It will, yes, as it's needed. Les Jorgensen is here. He can speak more to that if you would like to understand more detail. I know the question has been asked before, and I indicated that we would be moving into that if necessary. Les is our resident expert on that, plus many other things.
Council members, Les Jorgensen. Been around a little while. I think you know me. In regards to the project, it is a very complicated project with street widening involved. We do have right-of-way folks involved in the acquisition process. With any widening project like this, we're struggling with making sure that we don't have to go through too much eminent domain possibility or going through a significant relocation. This project, because of the nature of it, it will result in some relocation activities, and we'll be coming back to you shortly once the final appraisal document is completed, identify the parcels that will be required for acquisition. A number of those parcels will require removal of structures and improvements, but all that's a part of the standard acquisition process for city street widening projects. So the basic answer to the question is, yes, we do have an significant amount of right-of-way acquisition to complete, and we do have professional services to help us with that.
Great. And then as far as the acquisition and relocation, is that going to follow the Federal Uniform Act guidelines, or would that be through the state manual or guidelines?
It'll follow the state guidelines. There's no federal funds involved in the project, but we are required to follow the state relocation assistance requirements for taking property from private parcels. And so we do follow the state mandated guidelines.
Which I think kind of closely mirrors the federal guidelines, but maybe it may offer some flexibility, hopefully.
I'll tell you the truth, I haven't looked at the federal guidelines because it's only been a state-funded project, and we've got those under control. And I will be coming before you here shortly with the draft relocation plan and the necessity to share that document with the affected property owners. So you'll be seeing that coming shortly.
Thank you for the update. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Les.
And, Mr. Mayor, just for reference, the Olive Avenue project is R10 in your electronic packages. The good news is that it's a $7.5 million project that at least today is fully funded for 18-19. The bad news is that, as you've just heard from Les and Keith, it's not necessarily at first blush clear that it's a quite a complex project with all the moving pieces, fairly significant right-of-way issues, including a really constrained pinch point where the Chevron facility is sort of on the westerly tail of that section. It is a funded project. It's slated for construction, at least at this point in 18-19. There's a fair chance that those complexities, driven in large part by the right-of-way issues, could force construction to be pushed until a future year. But that's not because of a lack of effort or a lack of progress. It's just one of those projects that the constraints are getting in the way of getting the project done. So. Progress, yes. Funding, yes.
Yeah.
We'll see how far we can push it, how fast.
Definitely a large project, and thank you very much for that clarification and update. And when you're talking about that Olive Avenue and that kind of weird intersection, things are going to happen, and I think we know that. But I appreciate your clarification. Mr. Monreal, thank you for your report. Very informative, and amongst other things that you had submitted, what really stands out to me is the last line here that says engineering continue to update plan as changes. Whether there's changes or not, I think we need to continue to be updated as a council as we move forward. Right. And not only the council, I think the public as well. There are a lot of great projects that are in the hopper, so to speak. And as we talk about impact fees and we talk about revenue streams, it's very complex. But signalization at Elm and Yosemite is going to be huge for traffic and for safety concerns. The Westbury Bridge, I think Councilwoman Gallegos and I, we've talked about that for I don't know how many years, and I think the community certainly deserves to know where we are with that. But even though that it's complex, it doesn't mean that we cannot print reports, let the public know as to where we are on these types of things. So I'd like to have a workshop with that. And I'd also like to add, as part of the scope of work that Mr. Manfredi is going to be helping us with, we will be discussing developer impact fees and just how these projects are funded. And so to Mayor Pro Tem's point, there may be some other funding sources. I think we really have to take a look at those impact fees and what we're charging in comparison to what it costs to have signalization, bridges, roads, things of that nature. So I look forward to our discussions over the next few months and for you to come back and let us know how we're progressing with all these capital improvement projects.
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Any other questions or concerns with this particular item? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item E1 as presented.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded to approve item E1 as presented. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to council reports. Once again, I will start at my far right with Councilman Robinson.
Nothing to report.
Councilwoman Gallegos.
I got plenty to report.
All right.
Councilman Robinson, I'll take yours. The first thing I would like to commend Keith's team on working on a project that I was real concerned about and had a lot of phone calls and emails from residents about L, M, and N on Yosemite, where our high school students are driving and our community members are going to work. And we've had a lot of students have gotten hit. We've had accidents. So I went to Keith and said, okay, we've got some concerns here. And he has put in, if you haven't driven yet to see it, some high-definition crosswalks, tell me if I'm wrong, and shark teeth. They're like triangles. I'm like, shark teeth? Wow, that's something new that I never heard of. And that is not the only location that's been put in our city. Chief Lawson and Commander Terramonte, I hope I said that right, are going to do a video with Joseph, our communication specialist, with the direction of Interim Frazier to educate our community and take that video to the high school that does a live stream so our students are going to see that are driving that area. Also maybe the hospital that has feeds that go on and the county so that we can get more knowledgeable until we can get flashing lights that are very expensive and how Mayor Pro Tem Rodriguez is talking about funding that we don't have yet. But this is something to kind of help keep our students and our residents safe in the time of going to work and coming from school or lunchtime. So I commend the team on that. Very well done. And hopefully we get some type of video out there so that we can get everybody educated on that area. The second thing I'd like to say is it happened tonight. I'm not sure if Mr. Montreal, I'm not sure what his title is.
Analyst.
Okay, got it. So that's what I'm bringing here today, and I'm going to pass one out to each council person. I don't know if our council is something that we want to do, but I think it's needed, where that if somebody's hired in our city, that it is on a consent calendar that we see if somebody leaves our city or if there's a personal leave, that we have knowledge of it and if we're approving it. The sample I gave my fellow council members is a Madera Unified School District where that the trustees have to approve every month. So if somebody gets hired in Madera Unified, they're hired on the contingents that the trustees approve them in those positions. So we are the policymakers. That's why we were elected to be put here. And I feel that when Mr. Montreal stood up, I was like, what do you mean he's working for us now? And I have no idea. I'm not even sure what his title is. I was like, wow. And I thought, well, this is what I'm talking about tonight, is just on consent items from our HR department saying that, you know, if we have employees that are being terminated, they're on, you know, they're in a number, so it is confidential. But we're aware of it. If we have a new hire, if we have somebody that is on a personal leave, if we have, you know, a personal leave can be even an officer who got hurt. Well, with the name there, we would see police officer and know, oh, my gosh, they probably got hurt on an accident that we didn't know about. Maybe we would want to send a card out. Or, you know, just knowledge as we're making the decisions that we know what's happening out in our city. So I don't know how the rest of you gentlemen feel about that. If it's something that we can look at and have our staff draw up something that we can maybe approve and put on our consent calendar.
Anytime we can be in contact with our employees to recognize the good deeds. I know we have online we get the newsletter that shares birthdays and milestones mm-hmm. and things like that. But I will defer to our HR director to see if that's something we can pursue. Always keeping in contact and well-wishing is always
a great
thing. We
had several employees took the early retirement incentive that we offered, and I didn't even realize that they were retiring until like 5 days later and they were already gone. I didn't even get to stop by and say thank you for years of service and the time that you've given the city because there was no acknowledgement for us to know that they were even leaving, and this would prevent that from happening.
So we can work on an informational report. The hiring authority is in the personnel rules for sure with the position of city administrator, and I'd have to double-check the municipal code. But we could do it as an informational report advising who's arrived, who's left. The leave of absence issue I'd need to talk over with Brent or another legal counsel because there are certain issues that we can't make that public. So
well, it would be a consent item. This is
that still becomes public.
Still public.
It's okay. It becomes part of the public record. So
we can bounce it off Lieber Cassidy.
We'll get the right legal opinion on that,
okay.
And we'll give you what we can.
Now there's some extra copies so that you and Brent can take a look at it.
And
just
we can
like
go from
something
there.
To look at.
Yeah. New hires and separations would not be difficult to put a report together, as the mayor mentioned. It goes out every 2 weeks in the payroll newsletter, so we can do an informational report on staff changes. There's really not that many, but we can absolutely do that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Certainly a great gesture to recognize those that have worked for the city of Madera. Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
Okay. That's it.
That's it. Councilman Rigby.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to thank Chief Frazier for attending. Both of us were invited recently to sit with the Madera County, several members of the Madera County offices from code enforcement to Eric Fleming and others that are trying to work together to sort of take care of the river cleanup, which is kind of an eyesore for many people in our city, and understanding that there are humans that are living down there as well. And so we just wanted sort of a collective effort, and it's fun for me because it's one of the first things that I've been able to do with the county, and we're moving forward. Mr. Frazier sent out an email to all of us, but I just kind of wanted to put it on the record that the county is moving forward with code enforcement and the city of Madera to clarify sort of a new river map, who kind of has jurisdiction of what ends where does what begin. We're also working on getting what we're calling a blanket flood control cleanup permit. That way we can begin to take away debris and brush and things that are sort of hiding some of the communities and the people that are living down there. We're also hoping to maintain a consistent posting with our local code enforcement as well as the county code enforcement, 72 hours notice, as well as the storage of all of their belongings for 30 days. After the 30 days, their belongings are considered no longer theirs, and we can dispose of them if they don't claim them. And then also kind of partnering with other agencies outside of the county and city. One including Ms. Molina, who is not here tonight. Usually she's here, but who is instrumental at getting the sit down together. And you know, it's going to be a process. I appreciate even Chief Lawson being there as well, having a representative of the Madera PD. And I think I'm looking forward to kind of seeing the progress, if you will. I know it's going to take some time. There's parts of that river that the state doesn't want us touching, especially if we find environmentally we can't, which is why you see a lot of overbrush in certain areas. There could be a kit fox or owl or a bird or something living there, and we're not allowed to touch it. So So I appreciate that effort and just kind of wanted to inform council members if anyone's interested in also coming to that meeting, I'd be more than happy to get you guys in on that. One of the other things, though, I'd like to ask, since our chief is in the room, I'd love to see a Measure K report, kind of where we are now. I know a lot of things have been done with the finances that our citizens voted for, and I'd love to see kind of a rundown of how those monies are being allocated. Vehicles have been bought, body cameras have been bought. We've talked tonight about a fire station. I know that Jim left, but maybe we can coincide with the fire department and just maybe even see that come either through a workshop or a consent calendar item. But that might be nice to just kind of see where we are now since we're kind of halfway through the fiscal year and kind of how things are going with that. So I'd like to make that request, if that's okay, of our chief.
Good idea.
The final thing I'd like to say, Mr. Mayor, is, listening to a lot of comments tonight and watching a lot of fingers being pointed, I was reminded of a quote, "Lonely is the one who builds walls instead of bridges." And, I too would applaud the efforts that were made by my fellow council members tonight, and several of you were given accolades, and rightfully so. But I kind of just want to remind a lot that are here tonight that, we work hard to work together, I think. I know I do. Unanimously, this board selected the interim city manager. Unanimously, we voted for the consultation through the city manager for Mr. Manfredi to come through, and unanimously, we moved forward with the dissolution of the successor agency by putting Mr. Bob Wilson back in the director's seat. And so I appreciate that. I know we don't always see eye to eye, and we probably shouldn't. I think that's what makes our board so unique and so great. But I know we work hard to come to the right solutions that we feel represent those citizens that are concerned in our city. And I applaud your guys' efforts. I'm reminded, though, of the words of the late Billy Graham tonight, as I've kind of been in a place of mourning after waking up this morning to have learned of his passing, or homegoing, as he would say. A lot of unsureties or different, we'll call them, darknesses may be echoing through our city, but there's one thing that I'm convinced of, and he said this. I've read the last page of the Bible, and it's going to turn out all right. And that's what I believe. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much for those comments, Councilman. Councilman Hawley.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. You know, you hit the nail on the head, Councilman Rigby. I was listening to her call out names. But I was sitting, before I got here tonight, I was thinking about all the stuff I read in the paper about our mayor, that he's taking all the slack. But I want folks to know he don't make these decisions by himself. So when I read in there that you're going to petition him to be no more mayor, then you might as well petition all seven of us. That's the way I feel, because we all up here together. It's not a one man's job, because he sits in the middle. We was all voted just like he was. So it's not things I like to hear about our city. But I had a little saying, and I want everybody to just give me a minute. Contribution to peace. I contribute to peace when I strive to express the best of myself and my contact with others. I contribute to peace when I use my intelligence and my ability to serve the good. I contribute to peace when I feel compassion toward all those who suffer. I contribute to peace when I look upon all as my brothers and sisters, regardless of race, culture, or religion. I contribute to peace when I rejoice over the happiness of others and pray with their well-being. I contribute to peace when I listen with tolerance and opinions that differ from mine or even oppose them. I contribute to peace when I resort to dialogue rather than to force to settle my conflicts. I contribute to peace when I respect the nature and preserve it for generations to come. I contribute to peace when I do not seek to impose my conception of God upon others. I contribute to peace when I make the peace of the foundation of my ideals and philosophies. You know, I was thinking about that when I read all this about our city. We're here as a board. We may not do everything that people want us to do. And some people don't get all the information they need to get, so they want to target somebody. When I heard Ron say the things that I need to do, he don't know what I do. Everything he was talking about on that board has already been discussed with Keith from me. So when people attacked us, they need to follow us. When they attacked the police department, they need to follow them. When they attacked our city, they need to go around and see what's really happening in our city. It may not be this side of town or that side of town. As a board we set up here, we look at the whole city. And it hurts us to have to defer that it's on your side or your neighborhood or that neighborhood. But it's not about that. It's about how you feel toward your fellow man or woman. So those are my feelings I have. I just want everybody to know, when you attacked our mayor, you're attacking us. That's all I say.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Councilman, for those kind words and those comments. Mayor Pro Tem Rodriguez.
Yes, thank you, Member Dillon. First of all, I did want to thank Mr. Monreal. Again, you know, it was a surprise to me. But again, congratulations. I think what Councilwoman Gallegos mentioned, I think, is a good idea, so that this way we know and we can, you know, congratulate you appropriately. So thank you again for being on board. This weekend I had an opportunity to meet with Sergeant Josiah Arnold, and he took me out with the fine women of the women and men of the Madera Police Department so that I can kind of see firsthand of their training. And I'll tell you what, you know, I had to step back, and I'm very impressed that these people are actually doing their training, and they're doing it four times a year. And I got to tell you that these fine men and women are doing a great job, so I was very impressed. I want to thank them. Thank you, Chief, for keeping them and continue the training that they have, because that's what protects our city. And now that I was privileged to be able to see that firsthand, then I feel very safe that our city is under a good watch with our police department. So thank you again. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Councilman Oliver.
Mr. Mayor, and first, Councilmember Foley Gallegos, I think that's an excellent recommendation. And I appreciate an informational report to see those that are coming in and those that are going out, and so I think that's an excellent idea. First, Keith and your team, thank you for your continued study and analysis of Granada between Cleveland and Kennedy. I've had several constituent complaints with respect to speeders along that corridor there, and I appreciate all the warrant surveys and some of the creative thinking as to ways that we can curtail that a bit. I also had an opportunity to meet with Matt Grundy today, the executive director of Habitat for Humanity. We just had an initial introductory meeting to learn more about what Habitat's doing, their efforts to come into Madera County. I wanted to thank Yvette for your continued hard work and follow-up working with agencies like Habitat for Humanity. We all may recall elderly couple who have come down to City Hall a couple of occasions after their home had come to a fire. And Yvette and her team have been working with these folks, bringing in potential partners to help rebuild a home for them. And so Habitat for Humanity has been willing to roll up their sleeves, see how they can get creative and help along the process. I was really interested to hear about all of their programs that they have, both with loans and financing, as well as acts of kindness, engaging neighborhoods when they come in to build a project, engaging those home buyers or folks that are a benefit of those projects to also give back and to have a hand. And so we discuss numerous projects, whether it be homeless housing with the tiny home concepts and what they've been able to do in other communities, whether it be how they've been able to partner with communities like Fresno with their rental inspection program, proactively working with landlords to provide some TLC and upkeep and rehabilitation before those homes get too far off as far as upkeep and code compliance. So I appreciate you, Yvette, for making that connection, and it was a very productive meeting. And lastly, I'd like to provide an update, wearing my hat as a commissioner on the Madera County Transportation Commission. I represent you all along with Mayor Medillon. Back in January, we all agreed to provide a letter of support for the Trade Enhancement Corridor Program, which is a part of the SB1, or Transportation Bill,
financing, and we've been working with Caltrans for many years to see that the Highway 99 expansion to three lanes each side is the utmost priority between Avenue 12 and 17. A matter of fact, it's a top priority of District 6 and of all of our neighboring counties. And we've been working with folks. We've been building on goodwill to get that project off the ground. It's ready to list. It's ready to build. Unfortunately, after we submitted that application to Caltrans, we didn't do it as an individual agency because that would require match dollars. Instead, we went through Caltrans, which it wouldn't have that requirement. We learned when that program came before the California Transportation Commission that it wasn't even on the list of projects. So myself and Chairman Frazier, as well as Commissioner Poitras, attended a meeting last week with Caltrans and spoke with their headquarters staff in Sacramento to press very hard that the credibility and trust of that particular agency, as well as SB1, is on the line for many of us, especially those that express interest in such infrastructure investments. And so I just wanted to report today, we had an update from District 6 staff. They're working at earnest to see how we can reclassify the project so we can have it reprogrammed at least this year's, if not the next year's at latest, so we can get that expansion project off the ground. So there will probably be future opportunities to bring back letters of support to perhaps mobilize delegations to go to the California Transportation Commission to reemphasize the importance of this project. I will say the explanations we received from Sacramento Caltrans headquarters was insufficient, in my opinion. So I wanted to provide that update as a commissioner. I think it's going to be an area that we'll have to press the gas, so to speak, as a council, as a community, to prioritize that project. So that's my report.
Thank you, Councilman Oliver. I appreciate your efforts. We both serve on that board, and it's been years that we've been working diligently as a team to widen 99. And District 6 Caltrans is certainly supportive. County of Madera, City of Chowchilla, Madera are certainly supportive, but unfortunately Sacramento does not drive through here at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock Monday through Friday. And if they did, I think they would have approved this a long time ago. So we're going to make some a little bit stronger effort to possibly show them either videos and or pictures and timelines to show that you want us to reduce emissions, yet we are idling daily with products and goods sitting on the 99. So thank you for that update and for all your efforts. I want to thank Mr. Block for gathering us for our downtown watch last week or so. I think the turnout was great, and our efforts with Neighborhood Watch have proven to be very successful in reduction of crime and in getting our community and our neighborhoods involved with City Hall and our police department. Those relationships are certainly invaluable. And so taking that a step further, we had a Citizens Academy, as everybody knows. We started here at City Hall, and we gave the community an opportunity to kind of see what we do, to walk a mile in our shoes, so to speak. And as we graduate these classes, every single one of them says, I had no idea. I had no idea that that's what it takes to run a city. And this is just but for a couple hours, for a couple of days a week. It's not their daily lives. And so playing off of that, at the time, then Chief Frazier said, well, let's do a police citizens academy. And so, again, we've graduated 8 classes, 20 to 25 people in each class, and they get just a glimpse of what our PD does and how they serve and protect. And not just the gun and the badges, but the people behind the scenes and our 911 operators, and they get to drive a car and use a weapon and the relationship we have with our community and doing so, it's again, just so invaluable to give them just an inkling of what our men and women do every day to keep us safe. And playing off of that, because they want to, and I say they, I mean our police department and our community, they recently launched a police citizens academy for the Spanish-speaking community. And I want to commend Commander Chiramonte and Chief Lawson and your team and your staff for doing so. I had the opportunity to welcome those men and women that evening to that new police academy, and what they told me was thank you for including us. And each time we go out into the community, not expecting them to come here, But each time we go out into the community and do that, what we are doing is enriching the lives of Madeirans. The health, safety, and welfare is just, we are so rich and so blessed by doing so. And I constantly get letters of support and thanks for saying thank you for including me in what's going on because I didn't know. And so I too sat down with Yvette today and Habitat for Humanity, and I had a chance to share when they asked me what are the needs in the city of Madeira and can we build homes. And when I mentioned Pomona Ranch, I brought a tear to his eye. And when I mentioned that we as a council on a 7-0 vote voted to have the rental inspection program, it wasn't popular, but we knew it was the right thing to do for the renters in Madeira that were living in unsafe conditions. And so he wants to partner with us, and they will be making a pitch. And I've recently talked to Superintendent Lyle. We are trying to get a youth commission, knowing the value of our students and our young people, and starting them early, whether it be a citizens academy or being mentored or shadow elected officials or our staff to, again, find out just what we do. And so I appreciate the words of support. I love what I do in the city of Madeira. I met somebody at Super Bowl weekend, and he just happened to say, hey, Mr. Mayor, what do you have in Madeira? And I said, what do you need? He said, I need some space. I want to build a 50,000-square-foot building, and I want to bring jobs to your community. And so I'm proud to say, with Mr. Frazier and Mr. Boyle and myself, we had a chance to show our community and what we have to offer. And the meeting went incredible. It's not a done deal yet, but I am proud to show him what we have to offer in the city of Madeira. That's what we do. We create jobs, and he wants to come here. And so I'm hoping in the near future we can make that official. I personally had the support of the council when I brought a DACA resolution supporting the Dreamers. And I had the opportunity to speak in Fresno because cities like Parlier, who recently passed it, and Dinuba and other cities either did not pass it or they are fighting. And so they asked me as mayor, how did you get the support of council? How did you get the support of the community? And I said, it didn't happen overnight. It was years of hard work. And basically what we did is we gained the trust of the community through Neighborhood Watch, through National Night Out, through the efforts of our police department, our elected officials, going neighborhood by neighborhood. And when you have that kind of trust, when you show the dedication and the hard work, the community will stand behind you. And in all honesty, this is just a few of some of the things that are happening in our community, yet it doesn't make the headlines. Our community deserves better. It really, really does. And so I appreciate all the well-wishers, the texts, and the messages. Because as Councilman Hawley said, unless you walk a mile in my shoes, as our community has proven, unless we know what you do, my suggestion is be part of the solution. Be part of the solution. Because if not, as far as I'm concerned, you're part of the problem. I will continue to be transparent and work very, very hard to represent this city that I love, to work with the dedicated men and women of this council and our staff and this community, and nothing will keep me from doing so. Because that's what I believe this community deserves. That's all I have. Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned until March 7th.
Good suggestion.
So tomorrow? So on for tomorrow?
Yeah.
I have a presentation at Furman at 5:30.